The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the things that can kill you.
Like getting hit in the head with a baseball bat. Well, it probably would kill you.
Yeah, I don't know why.
At least give you a bad headache.
It's so delightful to me.
Yeah. Or blood-sucking leeches.
Ugh.
Or a sandstorm.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like a condescending pickleball player. Or raging moms.
Don't know about it.
Or a brutal firing. Did you forget how we do the rest?
I forgot what the show was all about.
Oh, boy.
You know what might help jog my memory?
The theme song?
There you have it.
Yes.
Ground is shaken under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Goblin down, Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna.
Hello, welcome. Merry post-Christmas. It's the day after Christmas as we're recording this.
Still holidays.
It is still holidays because the stations are still playing the music.
I can tolerate it until New Year's, I think.
Yeah. Well, did you have a nice Christmas? Oh,
yes.
Wow. Oh, no. That was very weighted.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We had a couple rough days behaviorally with the children.
The children.
Yes.
The children got a room every goddamn holiday, don't they?
Well, you know what? We had to
commit
give
them.
Some punishments. We had to commit them. We had to take away some screen time. And I got kind of mean. I did.
Grinchy.
I got kind of grinchy. I don't know if it was my mom coming out of me or my brother. It was like a mixture of both of them where I did a lot of pointing and threatening.
With a Virginia Slim in your fingers?
I had one. Vantage Menthol 100 in one hand, the long cigarette, and a cold can of Pepsi in the other. But we were on a walk. I was walking ahead, and I was like, I had the dog, and every time she pulled, I was like, you stop it. You know, like between my teeth. And I turned to Alex. This isn't going to make me look good, by the way. This story is not going to make me look good. And I said, if you think things are hard right now, you have no idea the fury I can rain upon this family.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Are you, like, from Ma?
From where?
Ma? Wasn't that movie? Wait, is that?
Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Spencer.
And I said,
are you some scary bitch-ass mom?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
And she just, like, got real quiet. And I said, I can make things really hard for you and your brother.
Whoa.
I said, I will take away both of the devices and you will never see them again.
Okay.
And I said, you two better get your shit together.
Good.
Get it together now. And then I like stormed off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's not how you teach kids how to settle conflicts. It's like,
well, you can't be perfect in every moment.
I'm certainly not.
And also, it's okay for them to see you as a human being. It took me a long time to realize that.
I know, but like, it was insane. I was being insane, and then I wasn't done. So then I'm still like raging. I'm like raging inside. I'm so mad. But this is,
did they set fire to the Christmas tree or something?
It was like,
you don't have to tell us if you don't want to, but
they got in a physical fight.
Oh, whoa.
And like, he like hit her. She bit him.
Whoa.
Like, they're 11. There's yeah. no, come on, guys. Come on, people. And I think I get so, I don't want to use the word triggered, but I get so upset when they do this. For one, like, it brings up a lot of stuff yes. from my past of violence in my home.
Right.
I don't know how to manage it. Mm-hmm. I definitely need to read some more parenting books on like, how do you teach siblings how to have a good relationship?
Yeah.
And I never know how to manage the conflict. And then I get really upset
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to get them to sort of work it out. But then they're just like, he did this. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Shut up. You know, and it's mm-hmm. sort of like trying to calm them down. I'm always like, guys, you know, we need to calm down. And then I get mad. Anyway, I'm rambling. But so then we all catch up. We're on the walk still. And I go, Alex, I want you and your brother to walk together. And I want you to tell him what I said to you.
Okay.
You tell him.
Uh-huh.
Tell him what I said because he needs to know. And Benji's just like, his face turns like white. And then I storm off. I go, I don't want anyone to walk with me right now.
Sally, you're on your own.
Well, Sven was there. He's got the dog now. And then later, she never did because she was, I think, too afraid to speak.
Okay.
So then later at like dinner, Benji goes, Mom, what was it that you said?
Uh-huh.
And I go, what do you mean? He goes, to Alex. I go, why? He goes, oh, I thought you told her me and Dad are getting divorced because you guys are so bad. We don't want to live with the two of you.
Wow.
Like, he thought I was so mad at them
that we
were going to get divorced just so that I didn't have to live with the two of them together.
Wow.
Does he think you're going to each keep one?
Yes.
Yes, they're going to parent trap it.
He goes, and just so you know, I'm going to live with Dad.
He said, yeah. Wait, he said that?
Yeah. He goes, because he controls the screen time.
So, so he wasn't upset that you might be getting divorced. He was just matter of fact. Okay. Interesting.
I go, well, hey, guess what? You're not going to get your wish. Dad and I are not getting divorced. The bad news is I'm staying. And I'm going to make it terrible. You're stuck with me.
Oh, my God.
Your mom, who's gotten a lot angrier lately.
Was this yesterday on Christmas Day?
It was Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay.
Christmas Eve at my house.
Did they shape up?
They did. They did.
Maybe you needed to do this once.
I think so.
Because if you did it all the time, it would just be empty threats. But you do it once, get a little scary.
You know, it's like every 3 months or so, I get...
Oh, that often.
I don't know how often it is.
You get psychotic?
I'm not like a person who really... I don't yell a lot. Once in a while. It's more that I get like real quiet.
Yeah.
And then scary. I say scary things.
Right.
Like real low.
Wow.
And then it comes out and I'm like, oh, you are... terrifying. And I think it is how my mom was, you know. She was very much like, you do not fuck with me because I will destroy you. Like, my mom was like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's still like that.
With you?
No. But like in her way.
The mailman?
I mean her husband. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Everyone.
Wow.
You don't mess with her.
Okay.
She's tough.
So is it one of these things like you don't even believe what's coming out of your mouth as you're saying it?
Kind of.
Like, you can't believe that you've gone to this place,
yes.
but it's coming so naturally you can't stop?
It's like a gift.
Yeah. Right. Like, who knew? The voice of God is speaking through
me. It does feel like I'm possessed a little bit.
Right. Like how musicians say, the song just comes to them. It's just a message yeah. from God.
I wish I wish it was songwriting.
Right. Like, no, it's just
I'm the Taylor Swift of verbally threatening my kids.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm glad they shaped up at least.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then they're home for another week or 2 weeks.
2 weeks of me with the kids.
How was your Christmas, Garon?
I don't think I can top that.
No.
I mean, I was basically sick this entire time.
Oh, you were?
We've been gone.
Oh, yeah. No.
I had the norovirus or food poisoning or whatever it was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it, like the puking and everything stopped, but I was nauseous this entire, yesterday was the first day it went away.
Did you have,
can
you had it both ways or just puking?
Oh, no, I had it both ways. Oh, it was not in the fun way. It was not good. It literally felt like a demon was reaching into my guts trying to find the first meal I ever had. That is how horrific it was.
There's Gerber's.
Were
comes
you
up.
Scromiting? Call back.
Oh, yeah.
I lived every experience that someone is supposed to have in front of a toilet in one day. Like, I was on the ground in a ball. I was holding the toilet.
My God.
It was
pressing your cheek against the floor.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you poor thing.
It was terrible. Yeah. Oh, there goes my phone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then I'm dealing with Dexter still. So.
Oh, poor Dexter. Yeah, so Dexter.
He's doing good. It's just that his medicine makes him have to go to the bathroom a lot.
I see. So you were up all night.
Yeah, and usually he makes it through the night. And last night he was like, you know what? You have two shows to do tomorrow, so I'm going to piss every 5 minutes, and you're going to like it. And it
so was, how does he get you up? Does he just...
He walks to my door and jumps on the door.
Oh.
So and it's you're, just like, boom, boom.
Do you or do you not have roommates at this moment?
I do have a roommate, yeah.
Okay.
I can't count on them.
I know. It's not...
Wake up at 3:30.
I know.
I want you to
take my dog
journal this night. When you get home today, well, you'll be too tired today. Tomorrow, journal the whole night. And then if you're ever like, I think I would like to have a baby.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
I
can
don't...
go back and read that journal.
Yeah.
And it can remind you of like what the first.
Yeah. Getting up every hour and a half.
11 years.
11. Yeah. You're hoping it changes right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as the clock strikes January 1st, the kids are going to be ship shape.
Totally.
Everything's going to go.
How was yours?
It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. We, you know, just the three of us. And then we did our thing. We went to McDonald's, as nice. I told you we would.
Got your Egg McMuffin.
I got my Egg McMuffin, no meat, and my hash brown.
Nice.
And I got an iced coffee and had about, I'm going to say 1/8 of it.
Okay.
And was buzzing.
Nice.
Buzzing.
They know their caffeine.
They know they're caffeine. I wasn't going to ask for a half calf at McDonald's. Like, I knew I'd be pressing my luck.
Yeah, yeah.
I already, you know, said no sugar and no cream. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, sort of blew their minds.
They were like,
so, wait, I don't understand.
This is pre-made.
Right.
What are you doing to
us? I know. Because I was bringing it home. I was going to have my own stuff.
Yes.
Know? So I didn't want to, you know, upset the cart too much. So I had some this morning. It'll last me a few more days. Like, it's so, I just can't
just
drink
have a little
that.
Thimble.
Yes. And then I added
flying.
More almond milk to it because I'm like, I can't risk flying out of this house. And then we, all, of course, we opened our gifts first. And it was fun. It was lovely. And then my book came on Libby that I wanted to read. So I started reading. I watched an episode of The Curse, you know, all very Christmassy things.
I love it.
And then we took my dad to like a very, very early dinner, late lunch at a nice restaurant. And that was about it.
It sounds nice.
Yeah. Oh, I will just say this quickly.
Yes.
Because this was just cute. We went to see Wonka. And the best part of the movie was that there was a little boy sitting next to me.
Yeah.
A 5-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
Who Jimmy and Oliver sat down first. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was in the bathroom. What could I have been doing?
What, you?
And I came and Jimmy said, you have a nice little seat partner there. And I was like, oh, okay. And apparently he had turned to Oliver and said, hi. You know, and just started talking. Was like the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
And he just started talking to me as soon as... And I was, you know, just trying to chill out with him, talk.
Yeah.
His dad was so cute. It was like, I don't know if he was a single dad, but it was just him and his dad at the movie. And his dad was trying to, like, you know, keep him quiet. But he was just one of those kids who has no volume control.
Yeah.
And when even before the preview started, like the commercials or whatever it is before the movie, before the previews, he goes, is this the chocolate movie? It was so stinking cute. And then, like, you know, some dumb ad for a kid's movie would come up.
Yeah.
And it would be like a fart joke or something. And he would just laugh hysterically and go, that was so funny. You know, just turn to me. And it was the cutest thing. And
oh my God.
I did not mind the movie being interrupted.
He was just helping it.
Yeah, it was so cute. And then afterwards, I asked him his name. His name is Luke. And we've all just been talking about Luke.
Oh, Luke.
Is that the chocolate movie?
Is that the chocolate movie?
You don't hear that name very much anymore in the youth, I don't think. Luke?
I think it's probably... No, it's pretty popular.
Luke and Lorelai?
Laura.
Luke and Laura?
Luke and Laura.
Lucas. You know, I think it's short for Lucas.
No, I know. I thought his name was Luke. I thought it was Luke and Lorelai also, but...
No, in General Hospital? It's
no,
Luke
no,
and Laura.
In Gilmore Girls.
Oh, I didn't ever watch Gilmore Girls. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, God, I didn't either.
I thought there was some sort of Star Wars...
no, I think I just went on
General Hospital thing happening that
I think I lost function in my brain.
He lost time.
Stuck on something. I don't know.
All right. So this today's topic is dedicated to Luke, who is going to tell his mom this was a really good movie.
Yes, he will. He's still talking about it.
Yeah.
He's going to tell her the entire plot.
Oh, my God. What's happening? What? The mom disappeared. Like, it was just like a thing. And, you know, it was like a memory. Mm-hmm. And then so... the person's not there. She disappeared. You know, just like not understanding at all what's happening.
What if you spent the whole movie saying that Timothy Chalamet will never compare to Gene Wilder?
This is derivative and not worthy of the first movie. I understand what they're going for, and yet I don't really know why it's happening. Did you watch it? Did you see it?
I have not seen it yet.
My kids saw it.
Oh, without you.
Yeah, I dropped them off and went and ran errands. I was like, no thanks.
Do they see it by themselves?
Yeah.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
Oh. That's cool.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
Did they like it?
They loved it.
Oh, okay.
Benji was like, it was a musical, though.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, they hide that. They're getting a little shifty with their musical.
So that's a whole thing now, is that apparently people don't like musicals, so they're hiding the fact that all these movies are musicals, to which I say, and everyone else says, so you're trying to trick people into, I don't understand. If they don't like musicals, then they're not going to like it.
Yeah.
And why are you making musicals if not enough people like them?
What was your tweet about Mean Girls? The note in the A is doing an awful lot of work or something? Was
that Yeah. What did I... Oh, so because people were saying that Mean Girls is... It's a musical. It's not being advertised as a musical. But there is a slight...
A little note.
A note.
A. That's how they're going
yes, to
secretly
indicate,
tell you.
Exactly. And also, is Regina George the star of it? Because that's all I see in all the ads is just... the mean girl, not the lead character in every single ad. It's bizarre. Anyway, okay. For Luke.
For Luke.
How to survive a brutal sandstorm.
Oh, Luke needs to know this.
He does. A sandstorm is a strong wind carrying a cloud of sand. Sandstorms form when strong winds pick up sand and dirt from dry and bare landscapes and move through the air. Sandstorms most often occur in arid and semi-arid regions. And on, not Tatooine. Tatooine's the ice planet.
That's Hoth. Tatooine.
Oh, so I did it. I got the right one. Okay. All right. Cool.
All right. Giving the nerds boners.
Woo! Since 1983. No, maybe a little after that. Okay. According to WMO, we could interpret this phenomenon as a windstorm. A sandstorm is a windstorm.
Okay.
That lifts a large amount of sand to the minimum height of 1.8 meters from bare, dry soils into the atmosphere.
So that's how many feet?
Oh, shit. I did it again, didn't I? I fucking did it again.
Did you get this from Canada Internet?
Did I? I don't think so. But some things are just measured in... You know how we have, for some reason, some things in meters and some things in... I don't know.
Does it say sandstorm.a?
No. What? What is the sandstorm.a?
A? Canada?
Oh, Jesus. The look on his face was so expectant.
I know.
Like I was going to lose it over that. But I just didn't get it. Now I get it. All right.
Starbucks coffee, ladies and gentlemen.
A sandstorm can be caused by cyclones as well as by thunderstorms. During the storm, which usually lasts from a few minutes to an hour, sand can be lifted up to 10 kilometers in height, whatever that means. These strong winds can transport the sands up to thousands of kilometers away.
Wow.
So bigger than meters.
Yes.
While many people equate sandstorms with dust storms, they are not the same.
Because sand isn't dust.
Right. Sand particles are heavier than dust and they do not fly as far or fall faster than light dust. Sandstorms require very high winds and can be very dangerous.
Yeah, because you could get buried in it, right?
In the sand. I never actually found out about being buried. It's more about injured.
That happens in The English Patient. Remember that?
I don't. I remember there's a lot of sand in that movie.
They get like in a sandstorm and
they're in a cave or something, right?
Well, they are eventually, but like they're out in the desert and then the sand comes and it like fills up cars that they're in and the cars go on their sides and it's like it goes up to like their necks.
Oh, wow. I gotta watch that movie again.
People really didn't like it, but I love it.
People didn't like it?
They hated English Patient.
But wasn't it like a big Oscar movie?
It's a big epic sort of David Lean type of film. It's beautiful and I don't know. It has a big love story in it. And
Kristen, what's her name?
Kristen Scott Thomas from Slow Horses. And she's beautiful in it.
She's
and Juliette
beautiful.
Binoche is in it. And she's
oh my God.
Beautiful
and who's,
in it.
Is it Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
But now when I watch it, I'm like, why is she cheating on her husband? Her husband's Colin Firth.
Oh, is that the premise? I don't remember one thing about it except for sand.
She has an affair. Kristen Scott Thomas has an affair with Ralph Fiennes, and her husband is Colin Firth. They're like cartographers. They're going out and doing maps during the war. And who's the other guy in it? The guy who, you know, is like sexy, ugly. He's got a lot
Tom Poston.
He's got a lot of... He's got a lot of lines in his face. He was a bad guy in a Spider-Man movie. James Franco's dad.
Willem Dafoe.
Dafoe. He's a lot younger, but like he plays kind of a...
Yeah, he is ugly sexy. I get what you're
right?
saying. Yeah,
he's younger
yeah.
and like he plays a sort of, not a bad guy, but kind of a bad guy. Anyway, I think it's worth a rewatch.
I will rewatch that. That's a good idea.
Okay, sorry. Sandstorms.
All right. The danger of sandstorms is in the reduced visibility and the particles. Due to the storm, visibility can go down to absolute zero, which makes any movement during the event difficult. Sand particles can also be dangerous not only for human eyes, yuck, respiratory organs, and the rest of the body, but also, this was interesting, for machine engines and other mechanical machines,
I guess. Think about if you're in a small plane.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that. I was thinking about farm equipment and stuff. But, yeah.
Because you could just crash.
Right.
Like, if it goes up high in the air.
Yeah.
I'm not going to
I don't think a plane would go 1.5 meters in the air. I think it'd probably be a little higher than that. But motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
Cars.
Maybe don't ride a motorcycle.
Farm equipment. Yeah.
Would you get on a motorcycle, Danielle?
I've been on a motorcycle. I mean, not I wasn't driving it. Mm-hmm. I've been on the back of a motorcycle. Yeah, I think if I thought the person was, that's a really good question. Would I do it now?
You and Jimmy are going to Cairo.
Sure.
And he wants to get a motorcycle and go across the desert.
Sure.
You're going to do it?
Yeah, if you fall in sand, you'll be fine.
What if there's a sandstorm, though, then you're dead?
I
think you should do it.
I think I'll do it.
Because life is short. Why not?
Yeah.
Have adventures.
Life is short and so am I.
Oh, my God. What?
Look at that bumper sticker.
We should get that t-shirt for you.
I had this condescending guy, which is almost all the guys. That's not true. During pickleball the other day, who said, I hit a shot that was over my head, and I made it.
Yeah.
And then the other person hit it, and then my partner missed the next shot.
Yeah.
So his point was, I shouldn't have hit it because it would have been going out.
Oh,
so it was my fault because like I shouldn't have taken on it, which is fine. Except he goes, you know, usually if you have to reach that high for it, it's going out. And I said, well, I have to reach for all of them because I'm short. So that's not really a good indicator.
Yeah.
Ha, fuck you.
Got you, buddy.
Got you, asshole.
Showed you, mother scratcher.
Let me tell you something. Sometime remind me about the guy who talks like this, who I don't wear cotton.
That guy?
Yeah. I don't wear cotton. It gets wet when you're exercising, so I only wear 100% non-cotton. Even my socks are not cotton. They cost $27, but if they get a hole in them, you can get them replaced.
Is he okay?
He's okay. Yeah. He's just I finally put my finger on it. He's humorless.
Yeah.
That's what it is. He's humorless. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's pleasant enough. He'll engage in conversation, but he talks like you're not part of the conversation, sort of. I guess that doesn't mean he's a nice guy. He's fine. He's not like he doesn't ask questions, but, you know, he just kind of, and he is like the head of security for like a bunch of sports menus or something. And yeah, he talks like this. And let me tell you, Danielle, I went to Japan and you can get, you know, $3, you know, cow's tongue there and or whatever. Okay. He's
That's
a character.
My favorite character you've done.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds exactly like him. That's how he talks. Like, it's crazy. Where do sandstorms occur? Sandstorms happen in dry climates with loose and dry sand particles. You will find that most sandstorms occur across the Middle East and North Africa, but that doesn't mean they are unique to that area. It would still be best to learn how to survive a sandstorm, even if you don't live in those locations.
Yeah, because what if you're in Palm Springs?
Sure.
Oh, guess who lives in Palm Springs?
Bob Hope's ghost?
Gary Oldman.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the last person I would have ever guessed.
Well, he does. You know how I found out?
How?
Because I was walking in here one day and I was like, is that Gary Oldman walking a poodle?
In here? In the office?
I was walking in here and I saw a guy. He was walking his poodle.
Yeah?
Well, he's waiting for his poodle to do its business. Like a little dog. Like not a big poodle. Like one of those little white dogs that always look like their faces are dirty and covered with grease. And he was leaning over, and I thought, gosh, I think that's Gary Oldman. He could live in this neighborhood.
Sure.
Probably doesn't, but like, maybe it is.
Yeah.
And so then I never found out if it was Gary Oldman because I got distracted by a guy who had a golden retriever puppy in his car.
Uh-huh. And what character actor was that? Tim Roth?
You know what? It looked like that blonde guy from 30-something.
The blonde guy. The guy with the curly hair?
I don't know. He was handsome.
Not him. I can't remember a blonde guy from 30-something.
He was a handsome blonde guy on 30-something.
Okay.
And you would know him if you saw him.
Okay.
But at that point in time from 30-something, like, he had an age, so I knew it wasn't him.
Right.
But I was like, and their license plate was like, Love Goldens. And I was like, they're like professional golden people.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I never got to find out if it was Gary Oldman. So then I had to Google Gary Oldman. Find out everything about him and his marriages and his children.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know everything, so you can quiz me. But also, he's now in Palm Springs with his wife. That's where they've retired.
That's so interesting.
Yes, that guy.
Okay, let me see.
Peter Horton.
Oh, okay.
Was he married to Michelle Pfeiffer? Peter Horton?
No, the guy who was married to Michelle Pfeiffer was that rather unattractive man who...
Parker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Yeah. Yes. Also, Stevenson. David Kelly, but before
Parker Stevenson.
See, that's what I thought his name was.
He was with Kirstie Alley for a while.
No, see, that's two different people.
Oh.
Okay. This is funny you say that because he's on Succession. This guy I'm talking about.
Yes. Greasy hair.
And I said to Oliver, believe it or not, that guy was married to Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes.
And then I couldn't think of his name, and I was thinking his name was Parker Stevenson, but realized Parker Stevenson was one of the Hardy Boys.
Yes.
Who was married to Kirstie Alley. Not that guy, but it's something similar that makes you think of Parker Stevenson. And Garen will tell us his name.
Yes, because remember, I thought they were brothers.
Right, and they don't, exactly, you thought they were brothers and they don't have the same last name.
Does the name Peter Horton sound familiar?
Yeah, that's what you just said.
That's him. He's the guy that was with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay, well, that's not who I'm talking about. I did not realize she was with Peter Horton
as well.
So
I was right.
But she was...
They were married.
About that, about Peter Horton and Michelle Pfeiffer being together.
Yeah, I guess you were, yeah.
Oh,
I didn't know.
I didn't know. But we were both right about her also being...
What's his face?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Digressions much?
How do sandstorms... Okay. Oh, wait. I didn't finish. Hold on a second. So they can also happen in the United States. Flat, dry, and sandy states are prone to sandstorms such as Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. Doesn't mention California.
I'm left out right now.
How long do sandstorms last? What?
Fisher Stevens.
Oh,
yes. God.
But that's really weird that would happen twice in 1 week with the same exact person.
Twice in 1 week? What?
That I called Fisher Stevens Parker Stevenson, and then you called Fisher Stevens Parker Stevenson.
I mean, you know, that's us.
Sandstorms can last anywhere from a few moments to an entire day. As long as... You okay?
Just immediately go right back into it.
Well, because we have a guest coming, and
she is on the clock,
Erin.
She's got to get through the material. She's got four back-to-back pages. She's got to get through it.
As long as the wind prevails. Fisher. Who looks at their kid and names him Fisher? I guess a kid looks like that.
But it's not even a name.
It's not a name. Thankfully, because sand is somewhat heavy... The particles fall quickly once strong winds subside, even if there is still a slight breeze. The winds must be strong enough to keep the sand pieces in the air for the sandstorm to continue. What is the best way to survive a sandstorm? It is normal to be nervous when countering any natural weather event, and even more so when you're unfamiliar with it. Knowing the best course of action when facing a potentially dangerous situation can increase your chances of walking away unscathed.
Should you run from it?
No, you should stay in place. Let's consider some things to remember if you find yourself in a sandstorm to ensure you aren't injured or worse. Okay. Sandstorms quickly reduce visibility. Considering how difficult it is to see in foggy or smoky conditions, a sandstorm yields similar visibility challenges, making it unsafe to continue driving. Mm. If you get caught up in a sandstorm while on the road, pull over and ensure no part of your vehicle occupies a travel lane.
Like if you're in a snowstorm, similar.
It's very similar, yes.
Yeah.
If other cars come along, you do not want to be in the direct path as they likely will not see you.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, as counterintuitive as it may seem, a critical step to survive a sandstorm is to turn off all vehicle lights. This kind of tripped me out. Other concerned drivers trying to navigate through the low visibility may see your vehicle's lights and assume you're moving.
Oh, I would have
leading
kept my
the way
on.
For them, right?
Oh, that's wild.
By the time they get to you, they may not realize you have stopped, causing them to crash into you.
Oh, that's so wild. I would have thought you would keep your lights on so they don't hit you.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
I would just say pull off the road if you can. Mm-hmm. If you're not even on the road. But I thought that kind of blew my mind.
That is so surprising.
Do not go outdoors or exit your vehicle to assess the sandstorm.
What's that? How's it doing out there?
Yeah.
Oh.
It may be tempting to go outside to check things out, but this can quickly put you in danger. Not only can you be pelted by small pieces of sand.
Oh, that'd be so terrible.
At upwards of 50 miles an hour.
That would hurt.
Ouch. But other objects could also be flying about in the wind.
Think of how smooth your skin would be,
though. I was just going to say the same thing, Christine. I swear to God, I was going to say it would be a great exfoliant.
It really would be. Except it would be so hard to get, like, if it's going in your underpants. Like, you know when you go to the beach and you get sand in your bathing suit?
Yes. Ugh. You may not notice an object blowing toward you with low visibility until it's too late. Okay, if you must be outdoors, you need to protect your airway. Wearing a face mask over your mouth and nose will allow you to breathe safely without inhaling sand particles.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing in substantial amounts of sand can lead to several health problems that you could have easily avoided, dipshit.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
If you do not...
Did you guys see the SNL skit?
Which?
Did I just say skit?
You
I
did.
Hate myself.
You
oh, my
should.
God. I'm from the Midwest. Sketch of the mom at Christmas, and she's giving out the gifts, and she's like, it's terrible. Don't even open it. I hate myself. I don't know. It just felt very much like how moms are.
Right. If you do not have a face mask, wrap a piece of your shirt or any other fabric around your face to breathe through. Wetting the fabric will further improve its filtering capabilities.
Hmm.
But may make it harder to breathe through.
True, true that.
If you do not have any eye protection, you may need to wrap the fabric around your entire head to protect your eyes as well.
But not a plastic bag.
Don't put a plastic bag over your...
What are you, a lobster?
Right, exactly. I think us four-eyed people have a little advantage.
Oh, yeah.
I've always wondered that, if they actually really could protect you from something.
Well,
like
I think, obviously, straight on, they could still come through the side, but it's probably better than not having glasses on.
Yeah.
If you know a sandstorm is a-coming... I added the
is I liked a coming. That.
It's best to find high ground.
Mm-hmm.
It may seem counterintuitive, but taking shelter behind something or down in a valley can make the swirling sand worse and potentially bury you, like you were talking about.
Oh.
However, trying to move in a sandstorm can be dangerous as well, so if you get caught unprepared, waiting it out in place is your best bet. Stay hydrated. Sandstorms occur in dry climates, which always makes you prone to dehydration. Staying hydrated helps your entire body, including your organs and skin. In order to survive a sandstorm, you need to consume more fluids than you would otherwise, similar to when outdoors on a hot day.
Okay.
Okay.
Plus, it's good advice.
Yeah.
In general.
Just didn't drink.
Yeah.
I'm really thirsty right now because I'm all empty. Basically empty.
No.
I know. If you've ever been to the beach, I have.
I've been there.
You know that sand gets everywhere, even in places you wouldn't expect. You'll often find yourself vacuuming the car for weeks and finding sand in your clothes and even the floor of your home for a long time. Sandstorms work very similarly. Even in the safety of a building, sand particles can make their way in through the air ducts and open doors and windows. Additionally, smog or other pollutants can travel far and wide due to the high winds, making for poor air quality conditions. Having an air purifier can improve the air quality in your home reducing the effects of a sandstorm. Can people survive a sandstorm? Thankfully, most people can survive a sandstorm with the proper shelter and knowledge. Those with pre-existing risk factors such as asthma, I didn't think about that. That would be worse. Or other respiratory diseases are more susceptible to having adverse effects from a sandstorm. If you have pre-existing conditions, you should take extra precautions to avoid putting yourself in
danger.
Keep
your little pump thing. What's that called?
Your aspirator. It's not called an aspirator. Your inhaler.
Inhaler. Thank you.
Okay. So here's a, are you ready for a story?
Please.
George Coronis is a Toronto-based storm chaser.
Cool.
So an idiot.
Yep.
Adventurer and filmmaker. So broke. Who arrived in Timbuktu in 2009 just as a gigantic sandstorm swept over the horizon. Okay. Now he says, Timbuktu, most people don't even realize it's a real place. Uh-huh. All the structures are made of mud and sits right on the edge of the desert. And just as we pulled into town, this wall of sand started approaching from the north. You couldn't miss it. It looked like a spaceship or an army coming over the horizon. The wind really started picking up, and you could hear the sand hitting windows and blowing the branches around. There were camels grunting and running for shelter.
Yeah, they knew what to do.
Yeah, they all huddled together and put their backs to the wind.
Hmm.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
The closer the storm got, the darker and more ominous it became until we were finally enveloped. The sun took on the most bizarre color, kind of reddish, and everything around us took on this orange hue. It didn't seem real. Visibility dropped down to near zero, which is what makes sandstorms so treacherous, especially if you are out on the road. If there was a car stopped in front of you, you wouldn't know it until you were right on top of it.
Ugh.
Oof, we pulled into a grungy hotel on the north side of town. I took shelter on the lee side of a building so I could observe this thing overtaking the entire town. I was squinting, but the sand was still getting in my eyes. And since I wear contacts, it was 10 times worse. Can you fucking imagine? Can you imagine? I struggle getting my contacts out like for 5 minutes every time I take them out. Now imagine they're covered with
grit.
Grit.
Ugh, that's just... Good. Eyes.
It's everywhere in your hair and clothes. You're picking sand out of every nook and cranny for about a day afterwards. It doesn't matter what you do, it gets everywhere and it hurts tremendously. Imagine being sandblasted. It's like someone took an industrial sandblaster and held it up against your skin. It lasted a couple of hours, but the worst of it is the beginning, right at the leading edge. What happens is that you get these sandstorms way out in the desert and you get these downdrafts that come out at very high speeds. Sometimes more than 100 kilometers an hour. And it shoots up these massive plumes of dirt and dust as well, well ahead of the rain. So it can be completely dry where you are. It's a dry thunderstorm, basically. Eventually, it just fades away. It's not the kind of thing that ends suddenly. The next morning, it was beautiful and a bright, sunny, sunshiny day. People were clearing the dirt and dust off everything, the camels and the cars. Wow. For the locals, it's just business as usual. So I'm going to put a link in the newsletter because I found a thing that's in the Atlantic that's just photos of mm-hmm. different sandstorms all over the world. And it's just crazy. It's just, it's like red.
Yeah.
You cannot see anything. It must be terrifying. I mean, it might be neat to look out from your house.
Yeah, and see it if you're from safe, the viewpoint of safety.
Yes.
But if you're in it, I feel like it'd be so painful. Yeah. And I'm one of those people that I don't like having, I love going to the beach, but like, I don't like having sand. I'm always like trying to keep it off the blanket and off of things. And like, I don't like having it on my hands.
You don't like
hands.
The feel of it.
Yeah. I don't know. That just seems so awful to be stuck in.
Imagine how polished your skin is. After
so nice.
Days. I know though. Gosh. You would just feel like a baby. It's like, doing baby foot all over your whole body.
Baby foot?
You've never done baby foot?
Okay, what is baby foot? I'm hoping it's taking a baby's foot, dipping it in some sort of cool lotion mm-hmm. and stamping it all over your face.
I wish it was that.
Okay.
Because I would do that for sure. I just want a baby foot all over me. But no, these are these plastic mitt things, foot-shaped things, not mitts, because that would be for your hands, I guess. And they're filled with like a cool cream and you put it on your feet and then you close them. You leave them on for an hour. And then like a few days later, all the skin on your feet starts to come off.
Yeah, I do that. Peel. I do that. I've never done that brand, I guess.
I think that's the original brand is Baby Foot.
Oh, okay.
But then there's all other kinds of Korean.
In a world.
Yes.
I should say of products that don't work.
Yeah.
That foot thing is the most satisfying thing you could ever do.
Yes.
It really works.
It does.
A few days later, you start peeling away all the gross stuff.
I mean, it's all chemicals, I'm sure. Like,
it's not. It's like, I don't know. Really? The ones I see, it's like plant-based fruit. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't care if it is. Anyway.
Whatever. Something in there is making your skin peel off.
I thought it was salicylic acid, which is like a natural thing.
I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to dive too deep into it.
No. But
it's
anyway,
fun to have your skin peel off.
It is fun. I actually
My
like
kids
it.
Are obsessed with it because they always want to do the peeling.
They peel your feet for you?
Yeah, they want to. Oh, they're like, God. Please do baby foot, Mom. Please do baby foot. It's so satisfying.
It is so satisfying peeling it.
Because, you know, they're all kids are ASMR addicts.
Oh, I think Oliver would throw up if he saw my feet peeling.
Yeah, well, he's a little older, so I don't know. He missed the ASMR train. And maybe when my kids are 16, they aren't going to want to still peel my feet.
God, I hope not.
If so, then we have a problem.
You have a Greek tragedy.
That was a great story.
All right. Well, now that we've done a lot of talk.
Yeah.
We'll take a break.
We will.
We'll be back right after this.
Sure.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chris, how was your break?
Stunning.
Was it stunning? Did you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am stunning?
I went to the mirror and I was like, nice. Good job. Good job, you. As I usually do.
Good job, you.
Good job, you. Just killing it. No, I just sat here. Oh, you know what I did? I posted our bonus episode.
Oh, good. Okay.
So it's up.
Our Christmas bonus episode.
Nope. That's not up yet.
What?
That will be up after we are done with this taping. You know what? When people are listening to this, it is up.
I'm so confused. We have two bonus episodes for December?
No, I'm sorry. Extended episode.
Oh,
I just posted our extended episode.
We'll talk after the show because I don't know what's going on.
Garen.
God.
Everything is fine. I'm drunk.
Oh, you mean for the subscribers? You posted the Patreon episode.
Yes. That's what I did during the break. Guys, I'm always working on the show.
Okay, I know you are. Okay.
Never not working. That's my podcast.
All right. Well, I was very confused for a while, but now I understand what's happening. Okay. Well, we are very excited to have our guest on today. On the first half of the show, we talked about how to survive a brutal sandstorm. And now we're going to talk about how to survive a brutal firing with Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
Welcome,
how
Stephanie.
How are you?
Thank you. It's not the kind of firing, like, it's not like an actual
A firing, getting fired.
Yeah, getting fired.
You weren't set on fire.
No.
No, I wasn't set on fire, which I want to be really clear. That
yes.
didn't happen.
Okay, good.
So glad.
What happened to me is less survivable.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But before we get into that, I want to say that you have written a book called Drunkish, A Memory of Loving and Leaving Alcohol.
A memoir of love.
Not a memory, a memoir.
Which is
a
memories.
Memoir. Yes.
Memoir.
Crafted. Yeah. It's crafted and memories.
It comes out January 16th?
January 16th. Anyway, the book is funny.
Yes.
It is,
is it available for pre-order?
It is available for pre-order and... Yes.
On Amazon or where?
Wherever, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, guess what we'll do? We'll put it on our book list.
Ooh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, we have a book list.
So I was saying that a lot of memoirs about alcoholism are very earnest and, you know.
Sad.
Mm-hmm. And like, oh, God, that person's fucked up, you know.
Yeah.
This has that, but it's also like I tried to be funny about it. Like, you know, my first book, which was called Sippy Cups Are Not for Chardonnay, which was like a comedic take on the horrors of early parenting.
Yes.
So this is like more comedic take on how hard leading up to and early sobriety. Yeah.
Can I tell you a little funny story before we
Please,
get into your story that has to do with Sippy Cups Are Not for Chardonnay?
Sure.
So I wrote a book and I knew about your book, and I actually reached out to your agent because of Sippy Cups or Not for Chardonnay.
Yeah.
And I was like, because you, you know, rep this book, I mm-hmm. think you might like my book. And I queried her, and she, before I had any business querying anyone, P.S., but I didn't know what I was doing.
This was it, which, was it Andy?
It was a woman in New York.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm sorry, I don't remember her name.
This the agent, Andy Barsby.
Yes.
Would have been, yeah.
So I reached out to her, and she said, great, I'm interested. Send me your book proposal. And then I had to go Google, what is a book proposal?
Oh, no!
Because I didn't know what one was. And then I was like, sure, I'll get you one next week. Because I didn't know what a book proposal was. I had a book, but no proposal. And then it took me like... Is the, months to do a book proposal because it's a lot of work.
Is a right. book proposal like a book report on your own book?
Yeah, but it's really a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
it took yeah, and it took me like it took me a few months because,
wow,
it also made me realize that all the problems I had with my book because it can do that. Mm-hmm. Like, and so then
oh, yeah.
then like months later, I sent her. I was like, "Here's my book proposal." Crickets.
Oh, Andy,
I know because I was like. It was so much later than, yeah. than I think she was just
like. She probably
like,
had no idea who you were.
You have what, no, yeah. like, you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Because
right.
I was like, see you next week. And then, like, months later, I was like, so sorry. But, like, I just needed to do some more work on my book, I realized, and then never heard from her again.
But now anyways, it's out.
No.
Oh.
No, it's not a happy ending. No. You've come to the wrong place if you yeah. expected happy oh. endings.
No, no, no.
We're all just depression.
Anyway, I just. When you said that, I realized I was like, oh, I have a connection to that agent who then.
So funny.
And then I've gone through multiple agents who have had fun ways to ghost me different ways.
Oh.
Anyway, that's not what
but
we're here
I've
for.
Had a lot of. Well, that's another whole show because I've had a lot of bad experiences with agents and with like even after selling books, like yeah. I've yeah. had agents go like, yeah, this proposal is just not it's the feedback is bad. Like, it's ugh. Just not, I'm not going to be able to sell this. Like, people are saying it's not funny like Sippy Cups was. And I'm like, ugh. Yes, it is.
You have to compete with your own, with yourself.
With yourself. Yeah. And just agents that are bitchy and kind of revel in being a little bit mean.
Yes, don't they?
Some of them do.
Okay, well, before we get okay. to your story, I want to know, because you mentioned it, what's the name of your podcast, please? Tell
oh,
everyone about that.
Oh, For Crying Out Loud.
Right.
Is one of them. That's my main podcast that I've been doing forever since my is twins, that... who are 16, were
yes.
two.
Oh, my God.
Is that yeah. the one with Greg Fitzsimmons? No.
No, it's with Lynette Carolla.
Oh, that's the one with Lynette Carolla. Okay, yeah. great. All right.
Yes.
For Crying Out Loud.
For Crying Out Loud. And then I do two more.
Whoa.
One's called Bored AF with Cecily Knobler.
Oh, yes, know.
Yeah.
of course.
Yeah, we've been doing that one for a few years. That was like born from COVID,
uh-huh.
which is just like funny takes on like movies and TV shows. And then I've been doing another one for several years called Rose Pricks, where we talk about all things Bachelor related.
I love it. How do you okay. even get any writing done with all these podcasts?
Well, I don't really do any writing. I just teach. It's too hard.
And you teach.
But you right. did write a book, so.
I did. I've written, yeah, this is my sixth book. So,
wow.
So, yeah.
Holy moly.
I know.
All right, but it wasn't all...
But I hate writing. It's so hard.
I once had a writing teacher who said, I don't love writing, I love to have written.
Have written, yes.
And I was
yes.
like, that really sums it up. That's
yeah.
kind of the best thing I've ever heard. All right, but it wasn't all always wine and roses. You had some tough times in your career.
I did.
So this is me getting you into your story.
Okay. Well, first of all, I should preface this by saying, like, I never went to college.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited tables for, like, a crazy amount of years. And I really hated waiting tables, but it's all I knew how to do, and it was, like, quick money.
Right.
So leading up to this story, I want to tell you that, like, towards the very end of my waiting tables career, I got fired 3 times within 6 weeks.
For waiting tables.
God's way of saying, like, you're not
done.
Good at anything.
Right.
Like, even waiting tables,
right.
you know? And also God's way of saying you have an attitude problem to be addressed.
Okay.
If you want to work in the world.
Okay.
But I got literally got let go from one place that was long time coming. So I was like, oh, shoot. I was living in Santa Monica. And so I like walked up the street to another place
mm-hmm.
and I got hired at this place called, I don't even remember. It's not there anymore. And lasted there for like maybe 3 weeks.
Whoa.
And got fired from that job. And then the last job was a cocktail waitressing job that I got fired on the first night. because I got into an argument with like a drunk woman. Sticking up for the busboy. This woman was being rude to a busboy.
Yeah.
And I was brand new. It was an Irish pub. And I said to the woman, I cut her off basically and told her I was going to kick her out. If she, you know, I mean, she called the busboy like a slur and she was horrible and drunk. But apparently the owners of the place were like, had a lot of regulars that like.
That happened to be racist drunks.
Yes, so they called me in. They heard about the situation. They brought me back into the room same night. And they're like, we don't want any trouble, you know, so it's not going to work out, lass. And I was like, I cried because I was like, they didn't know. But I was like, oh, no, this is number three. So then, but then that like forced me into hustling and getting myself my first like TV writing job.
Okay.
And once I had a television writing job, I was like, oh my God, I have arrived. I had a full-on working girl moment. I worked really hard to get this job. I kind of lied a little bit. Like I exaggerated what I'd done. I had to write a sample. I get in there and they told me I was going to make $850 a week. Whoa. And it was like more money than I'd ever seen.
Right.
Yeah. Like ever. More than double what I'd best week like waiting tables. Uh-huh. This was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, they bring me into my office and I'm like, oh, a computer?
Whoa.
Like, I'd never had my own computer. Anyway, it was like glorious. And I vowed like I will never like I will always be appreciative. And I love this work and I'm so happy to be here. And like, this is amazing. And all my dreams have come true. Like, don't fuck this up.
Okay.
And I didn't. And in fact, that boss was like a terrible, terrible guy and was really mean to me at one point. And I had a therapist at the time who was like, I can't believe you didn't tell him to fuck off. And I was like, I am not losing this job. Yeah, no. Like, you don't understand. What if I don't get another job? So I kept my mouth shut. I was like, pretty good.
So what was the job?
That job was called The Big Date, but I did not get fired from that job.
Oh, okay.
So then I had like another job. And, you know, there are all these TV writing jobs. This was not sitcoms, you guys. This was like.
Oh, we know.
Very familiar.
Game shows.
We have parallel.
Yes.
This resumes.
Right. Of course.
All my writing jobs.
Yeah. Okay.
I felt very excited and happy to be there, but also realized this is not the tier I wanted to stay at.
No.
But it was the tier I was staying at.
I've never written on a show that I didn't have to explain to someone what it was.
Right.
I've never had recognition come to the eyes when I tell someone what show I'm on.
The only one ever that I've had is Whose Line Is It Anyway, which is really, really kills with old people. Like they're just like, well, I love that show. But then nobody understands what you wrote on it.
Because
like,
to be isn't that improv?
Right. And I'm like, yes, but like they need this funny situation. And then you see their eyes like start to glaze over. Yeah, they're
exactly.
Like, oh, I don't know what that means. Yeah. And I'm like, and the host, you know, we had to write him funny lines and they don't remember that. They're just like, oh, that Wayne Brady is really, does he really make up those songs? And I go, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so this was exactly that. I hit a dry spell. I was out of work for a little while and I was like, I really, really need a gig, you know? And I heard about this show that was hiring that was the Three Stooges. And I hate the Three Stooges. Like, not funny to me at all. Never did think it was funny. Watched it a lot, like, as a little kid.
Yeah.
But never was amused by it. Always, like, if the TV was on and it was, I feel like, you know, I was raised in L.A. It was, like, the local station played Three Stooges at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And if I was desperate, I watched it. But I never thought it was funny. But I lied my ass off to get this job. And they were like, it's very important that, you know, you love the Three Stooges because this is what the job was they were showing these old Three Stooges movies, like these full length movies. And we had to write interstitials. So that means like little funny bits that would come on in between the movies.
Okay.
So you had to repurpose Three Stooges movies. So, like, let's just say you had to come up with a funny bit, like exercising with Mo, you know?
Okay,
and then you'd find a place in the movie that had, like, something that looked like they were jumping or something. And then you'd have to write voiceover on top of it to go, join Mo's exercise class.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, can do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This was pre-Google.
Right.
So, and nothing was online. Right. So the job entailed sitting and watching full-length movies and coming up with ideas.
Yeah.
Like you're an SNL writer for the Three Stooges, right? Like what are some funny, like fake commercials?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not bad at this kind of work, but I'm also like very ADD and like I need some kind of stimulation. So the way this office was so depressing, right?
Oh.
It was just like... And they didn't, for these people, this company, their background, it was this woman who owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Kathleen. And she was mostly doing other kinds of TV, like reality.
Okay.
Some reality TV. So she wasn't like a comedy person per se. And then her husband was like the head writer, like our supervising producer.
Okay.
Also, not really humorous person, you know, but they wanted to hire these comedy writers. Must Love Three Stooges.
Right.
That should be the title of this episode.
Yes, Must Love Three Stooges. So fun.
So now, like, I get the job, I get the gig by lying and saying how much, oh, love the Three Stooges. Yeah. So funny. Oh, this writing is right up my alley.
Right.
I get there, but then apparently I'm a troublemaker from the beginning because I'm like, could we get like some magazines? Now I'm thinking the things that like make my brain work are like
Cosmo, I see what you're saying.
Or stuff with fun headlines that I could be like, oh, what would be funny? Like
that you can riff on.
Because a lot of them could be like that I could riff on or be like, oh, 10 ways like dating advice
right.
from the Three Stooges. Like stuff to get my mind working. Otherwise, you're literally sitting there.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, let me think of a thought out of my head.
Because the internet, like there's no sort of BuzzFeed. You can't use things from the internet to inspire you. So you need,
That right.
totally makes sense because I will be writing sometimes and just, I think I'm taking a break because I'm, you know, procrastinating, but then I'll go to some website and something will give me an idea.
Yeah.
So 100% I know what you're saying.
I mean, when we worked at E! There, the magazines were everywhere because it's pop culture and they want you to be immersed in pop culture. So there'd be like Us Weekly and People and all the rags were everywhere because it was ways to come up with more ideas for their shows.
Yeah. I used to write, like years later, I wrote for Hollywood Squares. I was like a joke writer. Mm-hmm. And I got to take home all there were question writers. I would take home all the questions and I would lay on my couch and watch TV and like let stuff hit me.
Right.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like literal jokes, but like, oh, it would make me think of references.
Area.
There was no references. You had to literally sit there. And I was so bored. But some of these other people, they weren't even comedy writers. Nobody was complaining. So you know that situation where you're like, am I crazy or does this suck so bad?
Yes. Right.
And there were no good snacks. Like, there was nothing about this gig. Like,
you have to give writers snacks.
Jerky or Red Vines. Yes. Or, like, what? You know, because you'd want to, like, get up from your desk and go, like, wander into the kitchen area.
Yeah.
And there'd be nothing there.
No.
And so,
unacceptable.
So I started to, like, complain, but not, like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, hey, could we get some magazines? And the head writer guy or whatever he was like, why?
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't understand. And I said, well, because like the way my brain works, like you have to explain everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think so. Like we can't really afford that. Like
you can't afford
that.
A
also,
few magazines? Ridiculous.
No. And this was the least money. At this point, I'd gone backwards in pay because I was desperate. So I think I was making like $700 a week. Like,
wow.
So my first job was like $850.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd gotten a raise. Like I left there at like $1,200. And now I'm like, I'm desperate for a job I hadn't worked in like months. Okay. So I'm like, oh my God, I have to watch these movies all the way through. And I was dying of boredom.
Right.
And it was starting to just like, I have for sure already resting bitch face. But worse than that is like the thing where I cannot hide how I'm feeling about something.
Right.
It's hard. It's like I can't, like the smile doesn't come naturally to my face if I'm unhappy. And then, you know, it's like I just look like I have an attitude problem, even when I'm trying so hard not to. And I'm like, hi, everybody. How are you? You know, but like I start to bitch about the gig to other people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys, like, don't we need snacks? Like, we should all get together and like just tell them like we need some beef jerky, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they eventually do make like a Costco run and bring in some beef jerky. And now they're thinking I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
We have snacks for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, but I still really need magazines. And they don't understand. They just keep going, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? And I'm like, it's just too hard to explain, but like, this is what I need. I don't have anything to look at or think about. And they're like, watch the movies and you'll think of ideas. Like, you do your job. Like, sit and watch these. So I try for a little while. And it's, and I'm like, you know who was my BFF at that time? Still to this day, Bonnie McFarlane. I don't know if you know her.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We know Bonnie.
Okay, so Bonnie is like, I think we were working on a script together at the time, and it was like, I would call her like on breaks, or I would call her from the phone, like at lunchtime, like, and I would just be like, oh my God, like I'm going crazy, you know? So this one day, it's lunchtime, there's like nobody around, and I call Bonnie and I was just like, I fucking hate it here so much. Like, this is the worst job I've ever had. Like, this sucks so bad. I cannot believe they won't get me magazines. Like, what kind of a place? Like, this is insane. And then I hang up the phone, and like literally right behind me was that head writer guy, the husband of the owner of the company. And he's there's just no way he didn't hear me.
Right.
He's sitting. I hadn't heard him come in, and his desk was right like behind me,
right
to the side. And I sit down and I like turn my chair, and he's sitting right there. And I was like, "Oh, hey, Bill."
Oh my
right?
God!
And he's like, "Hi." And then,
and it's clear he's heard every word you said.
Every word. So this is like a Friday, and I'm like, but he doesn't say anything, and it's lunchtime, so I still have the rest. I'm there the rest of the day. He's totally normal and fine, and I'm like, maybe he didn't hear me, you know? Also, I start having that thing in my head, maybe some kind of like survival thing, where I'm like, you know what? It's very possible that like he heard me, but like, hey, letting off steam, like he gets it.
Right?
Like
okay.
He sees what kind of gig this is. Yeah. Like, you know, he knows I'm a creative person. I'm an artist, metal. Like he's probably just like, you know what? She's producing. She's coming up with content. Like it doesn't matter. Like, you know, let the artists art, you know?
Right.
So I start to convince myself that like.
It's all fine.
It's all fine.
So now
it's
you have a lot. Fine. You have a lot to think about now as you're watching the movie. You're having the conversation replay in your head.
It's so uncomfortable. Like the rest of that afternoon is kind of uncomfortable. But then he leaves. He was always like in and out of the office because like he's married. You know, he doesn't have to be there.
Okay.
So I'm working. I think I'm like mid script or whatever. I go home, have the weekend, and I come back in on Monday, and like everything's normal. And then like right before lunch, I get a call to my desk, and they're like, "Hey, could you pop across the street?" Now it's like we're in like a warehouse, so everything's open. I don't have an office or anything.
Oh,
obviously,
okay.
$700 a week. I don't have my own office. Right. It's like kind of cubicles with. They're like, "Can you come across the street to the conference room?" And I'm like, "Okay." Now you have to understand, it's been the rest of the day Friday, and now all morning, and nothing's like. And I've convinced myself that we're good.
Everything's good. Uh-huh.
So I'm not really sure. I'm like, okay, I guess we're all going to a meeting. I'm assuming that there's like a company-wide meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just don't say anything because I only work with a couple of other writers and we don't sit next to each other. So it's like, I'm like, they're like, come across the street like at lunch. Okay. And I'm like, okay. So I go across the street. I walk across the street and I go into the conference room and there's no other writers there.
Ugh.
And it is like eight people sitting around this like table, and it's the HR person.
Oh my God.
It's a lawyer.
Oh my God.
It's the owner of the company, and it's the head writer, and it's like two other people.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're like, have a seat.
Oh God.
And I'm like, okay. And now I'm like, shitting myself. Like now I'm like, what is happening? And I'm assuming, you know, that
they
heard.
Call. Yeah,
I'm assuming that, but I'm also kind of like, are they really like really they're really that mad over, you know, so they're like, have a seat. So I sit down and they're like, okay, so we're letting you go effective immediately. And I was like, really? And then, of course, I'm trying so hard not to cry, but like,
I hate when I don't want to cry.
But like, I did not want to cry. I didn't want to show weakness.
I cry all the time. Every time I cry,
I did not want to show any weakness. But the tear, like, I'm starting to cry, and I was like, may I ask why?
Was it anything to do with me telling my friend how terrible the job was on the job premises?
So they're like, we obviously know that you're very unhappy here, but you're poisoning the well. Like,
right.
And they're like, yes, so Bill heard you on the phone.
Ugh.
But also, it's not just that. It's like been your attitude, and you're like, you're poisoning the well, basically, was what they told me. And I was like, you know, my brain is just going like, I cannot get fired. Like, I need this money. But I'm also like, I really do hate it here. Like, and I'm thinking all the thoughts, like, maybe they're doing me a favor. But also, I'm so humiliated. And it's the only, it was the first show business job. I was like, I promised myself I wasn't ever going to get fired from like show business. Like, what if I never, all the things are going on in my head. So I start begging a little bit. I'm just like, so, hey, listen, I...
idea.
I know I was like, I was just in kind of a bad mood that day, but like, I'm really, I'm grateful for like this job and like, what, at least let me finish like the script I'm working on. And they're like, nope.
Oh,
no, no, you're done. And the other, your stuff has been boxed up.
Oh my God.
And the other writers were taken out for lunch.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was a big deal.
Wow.
And they, so they escorted me. It, I'm not, it wasn't security, but it was like a person from the company walked me back across the street to get all my personal belongings.
Oh my God, it's so intense. They're like, we have a car outside waiting to take you to the sheriff.
It was so crazy. Intense. Yeah, so I get my stuff and I just remember like going to my car and then just like crying and going home and just being like, oh my God, what just happened?
That's unbelievable. Oh, but first of all, those writers, those other writers, not only do they have you to thank for the snacks, they also have you to thank for the free fucking lunch. Because I have been in that situation where I'm the squeaky wheel.
Yes.
And no one else will say a fucking thing, but then everyone benefits from me saying something.
Right.
So I totally know in work situations, but also like, in high school and stuff, I remembered that feeling. Like, that is so, like, oh, everyone's gonna be fucking quiet, huh? Okay, well, drink your Snapples. You know, just like, you're welcome. You know? I totally get it. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, but why do they need all those people in the room with you? That seems way over the, like,
I mean, obviously they were big mad. And they thought overheard conversation, and this was all being like, I think obviously it went into this became in progress like that minute. I'm sure that Bill went across the street and told his stupid wife immediately, like told on me, and they were just like, let's get this going. And then it took them until they had to gather. What bugs me though is also like, why not, if that's how you feel, fire me on Friday. Like, fire me when it happened.
Right.
At the end of the day, bring me...
Well, they had to get their ducks in a row.
I know, but, like, firing somebody on a Monday is mean. Because, like...
It's awful, but...
Then I have to take the rest of the week to, like, get over it before I can go start trying to get another job.
So how long... Do you remember how long it was until you got another job?
I mean, it was probably a few months.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And then I just had that feeling of just having been fired and like
so...
not being able to say where I most recently worked. And
it's such a terrible feeling.
Little addendum to the story, though. Many years later, so this company does a lot of the Real Housewives shows now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's so surprising because they seem so not adept at show business. It seems like a company who like formerly did like construction
and they were like, just got into...
Oh, we fell into this gig doing the Three Stooges, but we don't really know writers or how to handle show business. And so we don't know what they need. Like, it definitely felt like you stumbled into a situation with people who didn't understand.
I have learned that almost anybody can have a production company.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You just need some infrastructure. You need some like Xerox machines like at the time, and you just go, we're a production company. Because when I had a TV show, when I had Parental Discretion, I remember they were shopping for a production company, and some of the places they sent us were like, had no experience.
Really?
It was just they're willing to do it really cheap what happens. So you get some people that get together and go, we're going to be a TV production company, and then they start marketing. They just undercut everybody, but they don't know what they're doing.
Right. Right.
So
it's just form an LLC.
They just have a desk.
Yes, right? They do. I mean, and they don't really know what they're doing, but they undercut everybody. And that's why they were probably paying me such little money.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Right.
But years later, these I went to a dinner party mm-hmm. at a woman's house, and this couple was at the dinner party.
No.
But it had been many years. It had been at least like at least 10 years
okay.
since that happened. So I just brazenly was like, hey, you know, I worked for you guys. And I kind of reminded them, neither of them, either they were faking it or neither of them like honestly remembered me.
Are you
they,
kidding?
They probably fired so many people.
They must have because they
like,
really
no,
didn't
no, no.
remember. And I told
I'm
them.
I'm the one who shit yes! all over the job.
I reminded them of the situation because I didn't
you
care because life had moved
yeah,
on. I think
right,
I had
yeah.
gone on like I was like writing books and had a kid and like,
yeah.
do you know what I mean? It
yeah,
was
yeah, yeah.
long enough
yeah.
later.
You could
that,
be funny about it.
Yeah, it must have even been longer ago. Let's say it had been like 13 years
yeah.
before. But the point was, yeah, I was like my life had totally changed. I
sure.
didn't care. I kind of thought it was funny at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
They had no, I really believe they had no recollection of it.
That's amazing.
So it was a much bigger,
it was a blip
humility.
For them.
It was a blip for
they
them.
They probably did it so many times.
They probably
they
did.
They fired so many people.
Especially moving into like doing Real Housewives. I think those people go through producers
probably.
And editors and like a lot.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
I'm
yeah.
more upset that they became that successful.
Yeah.
I know.
Like that they just were doing a Three Stooges interstitial thing and now they're running
yeah.
like. This
yeah, right?
conglomerate of, you know,
yes.
massive success.
Yes. Yes. Have you ever been fired?
I managed this yoga studio and I was out like teaching yoga and like chain smoking like a freak when
like
I wasn't teaching
like a
yoga.
Proper yoga
yeah,
teacher.
That's what you do.
So LA.
So I worked at this yoga studio right down the street from King's. It was a King's Cafe.
King, yeah.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. On Key, yeah. In
on
a,
Beverly.
Yeah.
It's a good cafe.
Yeah.
It's their coffee will make like literally you explode.
Oh, okay.
So you can have a thimble of
right.
it now.
Yeah.
So it was run by this husband and wife, and the wife was really beautiful, and the husband was older but like handsome and fucking weird. So he hired me as his office manager because I'd managed the studio manager because I'd managed a couple yoga studios in LA, and he like. Had a list of things for him he wanted me to do. And one of them was like, get a sign on the front of the studio because they didn't have a like signage. So I'd contacted all these companies. I'd find the sign and he'd be like, that's not right. This isn't right. This isn't what I want. And then he'd come in and kind of talk to me while I was sitting at the desk. And he'd like ask me what my relationship was like with my dad.
Oh, no.
Stuff
oh,
like,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Right?
HR.
Was he in a cult?
Maybe. He seemed like weird questions he'd ask. And then I'd do the stuff on his list, but he would never give. It was like he just wanted the sign to be there, but he would never. I was like, I'm not just going to have a fucking sign installed without you giving me the okay.
Right.
And then one day he just came in and was like, you're not really doing the things I wanted you to do. And this is your last day.
I.e. suck your oh. dick.
I don't know. It was, right? Wasn't it weird that he would always want to know about stuff with my dad?
Yeah, he wanted to know that you had a bad relationship with your dad so that you wanted a father figure so that you would fuck him.
Maybe. He was real weird energy. And like,
yikes.
So that I got fired from that job and I also felt relieved. I probably cried.
Yeah.
Mostly though because I was like, how am I going to fucking pay my rent?
Right.
I need yeah. like 16 jobs.
Oh my God.
Just the 16 jobs so I can barely, you know, pay the half on my apartment with my roommate.
Right.
Ugh. Hiring is harsh. I had this one job. I worked, do you remember the show Blind Date?
Yeah. Of
yeah.
course.
So I worked for that show and in the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
a million people, like everybody I think in LA has worked on that show, but I was one of the first people hired. And they for a dating show, they had like 11 writers and it was the only women were me and one other woman named Monique.
Okay.
Who was really funny.
Yeah.
And smart. And she and I, but so you had to watch tape. You had to watch like footage of an entire date and then you had to edit it down to a little thumbnail of like what the story is going to be.
Right.
And then you had to. Right. And you had to do it fast. It was like a very fast turnaround. So you had like, I think, 4 days
mm-hmm.
to watch the entire date, take notes. Like you
and you've
got to
create a story.
And then create a storyline.
Yeah.
Like, so is the date going to work out? Is it not going to work out? You know, because sometimes it's really nebulous. Like these people are not, it's not clear cut at all. They're,
right.
They just go on a date and like they don't really seem to feel either way about each other. Anyway, the guy that was our boss. It was another one of those situations where the company is just like has never done anything funny.
Right.
They fell into this gig and the guy that was the supervising producer came from Hard Copy.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he was like a hilarious news, kind of like tabloid news guy, right. You know? So, and I had full on comedy. This was not my first job at this point. I'd worked on many jobs. But there's literally weren't enough desks for everybody. So,
Oh my God.
The people that were the favorites that week, or if you were working on a script at the time, you got a desk. And if you didn't, it was like musical chairs too.
What did you do?
You'd be like the guy. I'm not going to say the guy's name because he'll probably find. Let's call him Jimmy. So Jimmy would just be. You'd go like, Jimmy, I don't have like a desk or whatever, and you'd be like, well, don't know what to tell you. Sit on the floor. So then you'd
amazing.
And this was way before you could work from home.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, you couldn't go.
Can I just go home and like come back when the summons so it's done with their script? And he'd be like, absolutely not. Anyway, this guy was just
I think
a dick.
I know. He did a lot of game shows?
No.
Oh, okay.
This guy. No. Hard copy.
He came from tabloid
news. He'd never really done anything else. He was kind of like
that's how the news works on Blind Date. Sit on the floor. We got to get this out.
So this, I have this one date, and I watch the whole date, and I've got this girl who kind of talks like a baby. She's super annoying.
So
and
she
the
was
guy,
molested.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yes. And the guy is annoyed. You can tell he's annoyed. And I remember their names actually. Okay, so the guy's name was Michael on the date and the girl's name was Alana. And she's like, at one point she says to him, she calls him daddy at one point.
I'm not kidding. On a blind date?
Yeah, and she's like, can you fix my collar? It's so clearly like she's like a baby. Yeah. So I write on the thing. I basically make this out to be not a good date because he's not into it, you know. Right. Although I think they make out at the very end, which I had edited out. Uh-huh. But anyway, one of my jokes was Michael wants a relationship. Alana wants a pony. Uh-huh. That's the joke I made. Uh-huh. So I get called into Jimmy's office and to go through the script. Uh-huh. And he'd go through your scripts with you. Not a comedy guy at all. Right. Very, very, like, doesn't get anything. And he sits and he's like, I'm looking at your script. And he says, what is this? She wants a pony. And he says, was this in her application?
Oh,
like,
my
under
God.
Facts about them. And I
oh
said,
my God.
No.
Oh,
my God. No. I said, it's a joke. Like, it's a joke. Yeah. And he's like, why is that a joke? And he's like, we're not in the business of making things up about these contestants. And I said,
oh my God.
Well, I'm not making something up. And he's like, is it or isn't it in her application?
Which is funny because I used to watch Blind Date. I never wrote on it. I wanted to, actually. And it was really funny. And that was the whole point of the show was to make fun of the contestants.
That's what we were supposed to be doing. Yes. Yeah, but this particular joke, well, first of all, he didn't really like me because I was squeaky wheel.
Right.
I did not get fired from this job because I quit before I could get fired. But I think I would have gotten fired.
Right.
But I sat there and I was like, I hate this guy so much. He was like the worst.
Right.
Like I said, he had no sense of humor. And you had to just kind of work around him to get jokes in. This was also very early on in the process. I'm pretty sure he left shortly after. But so I said, the thing is, it's a well-known, it's like a trope. It's like
little girls
want a pony.
Yes.
And he's like, I've never heard of that before.
Oh,
and he goes,
God.
Trust me on this. If I haven't heard of it, it is not a thing. And I said,
I hate him so much.
I said, well, it is a thing. It is very much a thing. And he's like, I'm not going to argue with you, but it's not a thing.
I've had that
like,
conversation.
Rewrite. So I said, okay. So I go off. Well, the script had already gone to like the owners of the company. Mm-hmm. Like everybody, you distributed when you wrote a script, even though it was a first draft, you just sent it out.
Oh, okay.
So then we have this meeting and the bosses bring up that joke as an example of what everybody should be doing. And
love
it was
it.
In
love
front
it.
Of
love
him.
Love it. Love it.
So they're like, now this is the joke. This is the show. This is the voice of the show. Like this is what everybody needs to be doing. And I was just sitting there and I tried so hard not to.
Yeah,
like
give
not to make eye
grid.
Contact
because yeah.
I didn't want to. But like after that, he hated
of
me.
Course.
He fully had it out for me. But my agent got me another job, and then
That's
I got to go in and quit. Like because it was a terrible job at the beginning. I think some people liked it later. Yeah. But then right after me, after I left, like a week later, they fired Monique. And on that, like, it was, and she was really great and really funny. And they told her, like, you don't, you're not getting the voice of the show. And she was like, we had all male bosses.
Unbelievable.
We were the only two women on the entire staff, basically.
Good luck.
On a dating show, relationships. Oh, like, wow. What the hell do these guys stupid. Know about relationships? Like, and yeah, so that was a close call getting fired, but.
Well, that.
I feel like
we have a whole podcast about just talking about our experiences dealing with executives on TV shows.
Yes.
And that experience of also being female and writing for a lot of shows that are run by men and just the experience of like what is funny. And I mean, there's a whole lot here to talk about.
Yes. Unfortunately, so we do have to get going. Yeah. But Stephanie, thank you so much. That Three Stooges story was
amazing. Thank you.
I love it. And thank you so much. And we're going to get your book coming out January
16th. I can't wait to read it.
We can pre-order it.
Drunkish.
Mm-hmm. And we will be right back with what did we learn today?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
All right, Danielle.
Yes.
I'm going to open up my phone.
Right.
To get to the magic.
Okay.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
I indeed am.
Virginia Slims, the choice cigarette for moms who claim they don't smoke since 1968.
Love it.
That's really funny, Garen. 1.8 meters equals 5'10", Garen's height.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
10 kilometers, just over 6 miles.
Mm, that's so far.
Yeah. I don't know. That's probably still too low for a plane. Is it?
No, the 10 kilometers was that how far it went or how high it got? I think it was, no, that was how far it went.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so not how high.
It's not how high.
No.
Okay. 1996 is the English patient. At the close of World War II, a young nurse tends to a badly burned plane crash victim. His past is shown in flashbacks, revealing an involvement in a fateful love affair.
Oh.
The film won 9 Oscars, including Best Picture, Director, and Supporting Actress for Juliette Binoche.
Okay.
He says, it's a very plum. That's a line I remember from that film. Oh, it's good to watch. If caught in a sandstorm, stay in your car. No lights, so other cars don't mistake you for moving.
Right.
Timbuktu, city in the Western African country of Mali. That's what I wanted to know. I was like, where is Timbuktu?
Oh, I didn't say that.
But I forgot to ask.
Thank
Historically
you.
Historically important as a trading post on the Trans-Saharan caravan route and as a center of Islamic culture from 1400 to 1600, is located on the southern edge of the Sahara. Do you think it's Sahara or Sahara? Here we go.
There we go again. Sahara.
About 8 miles, 13 kilometers, north of the Niger River. Babyfoot contains 16 kinds of natural extracts, which have a high moisturizing power and astringency. Thus, the soles become smooth after peeling. Babyfoot not only peels the dead skin cells from your feet, it also maintains the grain of the skin and adds moisture to the skin. All right.
So maybe not chemicals.
Maybe not.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well,
we've had fun today.
We had a
Speaking
lot of fun.
Look at us having fun.
Christmas hangover.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, until next time,
remain calm.